Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's going to be a good night tonight. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We've got months of pent up. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What's that? Pent up midweek. Hallelujah. Is that a thing? Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Man, oh man, oh man. I'm just telling you right now, the glory of the Lord is so thick in here right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. For the first time in my life, I've seen the glory cloud that they talk about. I can see it right now all over. Praise the Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Praise God. Well, God wants to do something here tonight, but I know I got to minister the word because it's pertinent to what we're doing. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we're just going to start with, hallelujah, glory to God. We're going to start with that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Praise God. Well, tonight's message, praise the Lord, is called Faith in Peace. Amen. Faith in peace, and we're not going to be talking about like having faith in peace, but we're talking about how faith works while we're in peace. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Trish, you did a good job by coming tonight. I just wanted to let you know the Lord was dealing with me on some things with you this afternoon. And just praise the Lord. praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, he was directing me on some things, so glory to God. It's good to listen to the Lord and the leading. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. With faith and peace, hallelujah. You know, oh, I'm just so thankful. I didn't even know where to start with this. I know where to start here, but I don't know where to start with all this. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. We're going to spend some time being acquainted with the Holy Ghost. It's been strong on my heart as we've been approaching this service, in these Tuesday services. It's been really strong on my heart to start ministering more about the Holy Ghost and his function in our lives, and so that we can understand him more and understand what this Holy Ghost is all about. You know, people talk about the Holy Ghost, and so we're going to just follow the Lord and how that goes. I don't know how many weeks or whatever it's going to go on, but tonight we're going to talk about an operation of the Holy Ghost and how he leads us. Amen. And we're Christians that Christians need to be led. They need to learn how to be led. They need to know all about being led. And the primary way that God leads us, of course, is by his Spirit, through his word, in peace in our spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we're believing God for good things. Amen. We believe that he's going to direct us as we go through this. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Oh man, it's hard to minister under this kind of anointing. I just want to let you know, but we're going to get through it. Amen. And not hard because the Spirit just wants to go places and do things. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Why don't we turn, we're going to turn to Romans 14, 23. You know, we like to start with the Word. Anything that's not built on the Word is not built on truth. And if it's not built on truth, it's a lie. Amen. There's no reason that it shouldn't be built on truth. You know, and people say, what's the difference between your faith and my faith? And I'm like, I don't know about your faith, but I know my faith is built on the Word of God, so it's built on truth. Amen. It's not built on man's ideas. It's not built on what man can come up with, but it's built on what God can come up with. Hallelujah. And so in Romans 14, 23, praise the Lord, this is where we're going to start. Glory to God. It says, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. Amen. Now, you know, in context here, God was talking a lot, the Apostle Paul was telling the Romans a lot through the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, was telling them, directing them on things. You know, there's lots of laws that people were still trying to live by. And, you know, there was a lot of law that they were trying to hold. You can't eat this, you can't eat that, you can't touch this, you can't touch that. Amen. And God taught his disciples a lot about the law of liberty. Amen. And how liberty is supposed to be at work within us. And right here it's summed up. I love the end of the scripture. It says, for whatever is not from faith is sin. Amen. You can't, if you can't do it according to faith, then you can't do it according to God. You can't do it without sin. And so it doesn't matter what you do, all things basically boil down to this, amen? This is where people get tripped up, because someone will come up with something that they don't believe that they can do, or they don't believe they're supposed to do, and then they try to put it on other people. And when they do that, what happens is you get into a lot of bondage really quick. Although God hasn't intended that to be the case, that's what happens, because people fall into that spirit, amen? But we see here that that if it's not of faith, it's not, or if it's not of faith, it is sin, amen? And so we have to understand that even the most basic things, even the most basic things that we do in church, if we can't do it according to faith, and what is faith? Believing that it's truth, essentially, believing that it's God's truth. If we believe that something isn't God's truth, then how can we do it? How can we do it in faith? We can't, amen? Because faith comes from God, praise the Lord. But I have a question that I want to ask you for whatever we do. And the question is, what level of peace are we at? What level of peace are you at? You can never have peace apart from the Word of God, because true peace only comes from knowing the truth. I said you cannot have peace apart from knowing the Word of God. You can't. Some people will say, I have peace in this, but they can't have peace in it if they don't know the truth. See, there's so many people in this world that don't know the truth. If you're not being taught the Word in a Bible-teaching church, then you don't know the truth. And so if you don't know the truth, you can't do it in peace. And so it's sin. You understand? You can't do it with full assurance that what you're doing is correct. You can't do it with full assurance that what you're doing is okay. Amen? You can say, well, I think this is okay. You know, there's a lot of people that think that this or that is okay, but they never really know. You know, there's a lot of people that approach religion that way. They think that it's okay. They think that what we're doing is right, but they don't really know whether it's right. See, God has always called us to know. You know, people mistakenly said that when in the garden, people mistakenly say that God told Adam and Eve not to eat from the tree of knowledge, right? Isn't that what we've all heard over the years? But if you look at what the scripture says, it doesn't say the tree of knowledge. It says the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Praise the Lord. And so God forbid them to eat from that specific tree. It wasn't the tree of all knowledge. God wants us to have knowledge. He would not have given us his word. He would not have given us the Holy Ghost. He would not have given us his son if he didn't want us to have knowledge. God wants us to know. He wants us to know that we know. Amen. See, that's the thing I love about my faith, is that I know that I know. People ask, like, oh, well, how do you know that what you are into is the truth? I know that I know. First of all, I have the word of God. Without the Word of God, I have no basis for knowing what is true or what is lie. Without some standard, you have no basis for knowing what the truth is or a lie. Praise the Lord. You know, they were doing this new thing in schools. I don't know if they're still doing it, but they were coming up with this new thing where kids were allowed to give whatever answer they want, and as long as they could justify their answer, then it was okay. But see, that's a lie from the devil right there, because what that's teaching people is if you can justify your actions, then that's okay. But see, we have a standard, and the reason that we have a standard is so we have the truth to go by. That's why Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Because it's the bondage that we have from not knowing the truth. You remember walking through life and like, I don't know if what I'm doing is right or wrong. I don't know why this church is better than this church. I don't know why this minister is right and this minister is right. See, you can know every minister is right if they're all preaching the truth. Now, if you just don't believe this, then we got a whole other issue. You know what I'm saying? But we're talking about Christian faith. You know, it's not hard to know the truth, because the truth is plainly written before us. You know, it's just like a recipe. If we have a recipe before us, it's not hard to know what to put in the soup. Amen? Because you have the recipe. You know what to do. It's clear. And see, where people go wrong often is they try to mix what they want or what they desire and try to make it the truth, and then justify it by saying, I felt right. But see, if we go by feelings, they'll lead us in all kinds of different directions. Amen? And none of them are good. What level of peace are you at? We have to know where we're at in our level of peace. If we know the truth, then the truth can make us free, and we can be sure of the direction that we're going. But if we don't know the truth, you know, this is why I love, I'm not gonna bring up the religion, but there was a certain religion, you know, I think it began with a C, a certain denomination. What was it, Catholicism or something like that? Oh, I said I wasn't going to say it. I'm sorry. But forgive me for saying that. But they used to do, from what I've been told, they used to do Mass in Latin. And so they used to, and people weren't allowed to read from the Bible. They didn't bring the Bible home. So people didn't read from the Bible. They would do Mass in Latin. And so nobody understood what was going on anyways. And they were saying, just trust this guy up there on the stage or whatever, this person who's talking to you. Just trust him because he's got to know. But see, that's not what God said. God said, you know, for us to look at the truth. We're to study the Word. In fact, the Bible tells us is in 1 Timothy that we need to study the Word. And if we don't, basically that we're fools. Hallelujah. We have to know the Word of God. That is our basis for truth. Praise the Lord. Christians, we have to know what we're doing is justified according to the Word. If we don't know what, and you know, I know you got the text today about healing. We're going to get there, amen? But you know, God's got a lot of other things that he needs us to get into before we get there, amen? So we see this, that whatever is not from faith is sin. Praise the Lord. So we need to know what we're doing, that we're doing it justified, amen? Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Colossians 3. Praise the Lord. Colossians 3 and verse 15. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There we are. Colossians 3, verse 15. We're going to read through verse 17. That's why when we preach the word in this church, that's why when we give people, when we come here together, we bring the word with us. That's why we look at the Word ourselves. That's why we encourage people to get into the Word and study it and understand it. Because you have to know that what I'm saying is true. Otherwise, you'll be led astray. If you don't know that what I'm saying is true, then you're not going to know what's true and what's not. And I can tell you anything I want to do. But we don't want to do that, right? Amen. Colossians 3:15. It says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. There's so many Christians that need to hear this scripture. The peace of God is not just, oh, I feel good. The peace of God is not just, oh, I'm okay with the world. The peace of God is knowing what you're doing, knowing where you're at, knowing where you're sitting, why you're sitting there, amen? Praise the Lord. It's knowing it. It's knowing. Let it rule in your heart, the Bible says here, amen? So that should be the first and foremost thing that we're seeking is the peace of God, that you know that what you're doing is right. That you know that where you are at is right. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Let it rule in your hearts. To which you were all were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ. What is it? What does it say? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace to in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. But let's go back up to verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is knowing that the word of God is something that you need to dwell in you. Amen. We need to keep the word of God before us all the time. We need to, and this again, in conjunction with the peace that it talked about in the previous scripture, without the word of God dwelling in you richly, you cannot have the peace of God. We don't want the peace of the world. People can find peace in the world. You know that, don't you? There's people that get in some of these, like, you know, Hindu religions, different Buddhist religions, stuff like that. People get into meditation and they find peace the way the world knows it. But that's not the peace of God. There's a total difference. I know people who have been sinning full well. There's people out there that are doing horrible things, and they're doing it with full peace. But it's not the peace of God. It's not the peace that's based in truth. Amen? We want to be people who are basing everything in truth. And why do I say all this? Because if we're going to be led by God, see, the leading of God is very accurate. The leading of God will always take us to that place that we need to be in life. Amen? Praise the Lord. People all the time, and I hear this from Christians, well, I'm led by God to do this. Not if it's not in the Word, you're not. God doesn't lead you separate from the Word. I said, God doesn't lead you separate from the Word. It can't say one thing in the Word and you go out and do something else and say, well, this was my leading and I had peace on it. No, you didn't. You were listening to the devil. Amen? You had peace according to the devil. And sometimes, see, it's hard to separate for people who are in the flesh. It's hard for them to separate out that peace because they think, well, I feel peace about this. What does the Word say? Where is it in the Word? Where can you find examples of this or this direction in the Word? Where can you see it in here? If you can have Scripture on it, then you can have peace on it. Amen? Praise the Lord. It's very important for children to know who they are. It's very important that this is why it's such a travesty when we have broken homes and stuff like that. Now, listen, if you're in a broken home, I'm not just condemning you, but you understand that God's will is never a broken home. God's will is never to break things up, and that's where things start to get out of line, is because God wants kids to have directions. They can't know who they are without knowing that foundation that's there for them. Amen? And I say that because God is our Heavenly Father. But there's a lot of broken homes. And what I'm talking about is not even just the homes in our own lives. I'm talking about a lot of broken homes that are the churches. A lot of broken homes where people aren't, they're not in the Word. They're not following the Holy Ghost. They're not being led right. They're not doing the things that Jesus did. They're not doing the works that Jesus worked. And therefore, people are scattered and faint. They're all over the place. Amen? Praise God. Let's turn to Romans 8:14. Praise the Lord. We know the Scripture, but we need to know it. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Romans 8:14 and 15. The reason I said what I just said is this. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear. That's really big right there. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Bondage and fear is not of God. You didn't receive that spirit. If you're in bondage and fear, you're not in the truth, and therefore you're not being led by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God does not lead with bondage, and He does not lead with fear. Let me say this again. He does not lead with bondage, and He does not lead with fear. Never. He never does. That's from the devil. If it's bondage and fear, it's of the devil. It is not of God. How do we know that? The Word tells us that. Amen? Praise the Lord. But you have received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Praise the Lord. You know, when I was a child of the world, I walked around lost. Because although there was lots of potential in the world, I didn't know what belonged to me. I didn't know what was mine. Do you know what I'm saying? When you were in the world too, you did the same thing. You're like, well, maybe I'll do this, maybe I'll do that, but I don't really know. I'm going to try this, and if this doesn't work out, you know, I'll try this person. This is why dating the way the world does it is screwed up, and it's crept into the church, and the church wants to do it, but that's why the church is screwed up. Because the Bible tells us to know. You don't try it out and just sample things, sample people, and see if they fit your... Come on now. Praise the Lord. If we're sampling people, we're doing the same thing the devil does. We're not going according to God. God never told us to sample things. You need to know. Praise the Lord. If you're in a relationship, by God, you better know it. Praise the Lord. I said you better know it, right? You better know you're in the right relationship. Hallelujah. You better know, because if you don't know, then you better get out of it, because you're not. Amen? Because the Word of God will lead us to truth. Praise the Lord. I said the Word of God will always, in the Spirit of God, will lead us in truth. Amen? Now, that doesn't mean that if you're, praise God, hallelujah. You know, there are examples of people that, that are married, and they're, I'm not telling you just get divorced or whatever. You know, you got to be careful about those things. If that's a decision you make, you need to make that with full assurance in the truth, based in the truth, amen? But we don't do it on a whim. We don't cause things, because he's never intended things to just be haphazard. He wants us to know. That's the reason for the truth. That's the reason he's given us the truth, because if we don't know, we're lost. We're just like the world. There should be something that separates the church from the world, and that something is called the truth, amen? It's the truth of the Word of God. Praise the Lord. I didn't know what belonged to me. I walked around and I was like, well, maybe I'll try this job. Maybe I'll try that job. Maybe I'll go to this school. Maybe I'll go to this school. Maybe I'll do this as a career. Maybe this person or that person. You see, all these things, these are maybes, weren't based in truth. There's no faith. It's done in sin. Hallelujah. You see, God doesn't want us to operate that way. We need to understand this, because if we allow ourselves to operate that way on a day-to-day basis, on a daily basis, if we are operating in untruth, in sin, what happens is we can never follow God when it's important. And there's something that the church needs to be doing that's important. There's lots of things that the church needs to be doing that are important. And they're not doing them because people don't know how to follow the Spirit. They don't know what's truth or untruth. People say, well, I don't know if I believe in that healing stuff. Do you believe in the Word or do you not believe in the Word? Because if you believe in the Word, then you got to believe in healing. Or you don't believe in this Word, because this Word talks all about healing. This Word is full of healing, the healing of God. God never put sickness on any one of His children, ever. How do we know that? Because the Word tells us that. What did Jesus do when He was here? How many people did Jesus make sick? None. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father do. You heard that scripture before. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father do. And therefore, what did Jesus do? It said, Bible tells us that He went about doing good, healing all who were what? Oppressed of the devil. The Bible tells us, and it was at Acts 10:38, I think. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. Praise the Lord. But you understand that healing comes from God. He's the one. In fact, we can see this in our own bodies. We don't even need to go to the Word to understand this. What is it? Is it Acts 10:38? Okay, I was right. We don't even need to go to the Bible to understand that fully. When you get cut, what happens? If you're healthy, if everything's operating correctly, you heal. If you get sick, what happens? Your body immediately goes in to start healing, right? If you have allergies, you know, there's reactions in your body, and that reaction is the process of healing. Amen? It's your body trying to kick that stuff out. So we understand that there's a lot of processes already there, and God designed us. God designed us with the ability to heal, so why would He want to make us sick? Why would He want to take things away from us? Why would he want to make it harder for us to do the work of the Lord if that's what we're called into doing? It doesn't make any sense, does it? It doesn't make any sense according to Scripture. In fact, the only people that come up with this kind of garbage, and this is all over the place. This is all over the place, and I hear it all the time. All the time. I just got a text from a friend the other day, and it was a minister who was claiming this same kind of thing. That, I mean, it's just unreal to me that people would think that God, this loving Father, wants to make them sick. It makes me ill to even think about it. Because I can't imagine putting a sickness on my child. I can't imagine hurting my child with one thing or to put my child in bondage. Can you imagine that? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And see, and this is important. This is important for us to understand, because really the church is supposed to take healing to the world. I said the church is supposed to take healing. We're going to see that in Scripture. Praise God. Hallelujah. Although this message isn't just about healing, but that is part of it. And that's part of what we're going to be actually doing an exercise in a little while. Praise the Lord. We're going to be participators in the Word of God. You know, some of you are looking at me a little bit nervous. Praise God. But we're going to participate, because Christians need to know how to participate. Because you know what? It's not enough that you come to church. You need to go out in the world and live it. It's not enough that you come and see somebody lay hands on somebody. You need to know how to do that. When somebody's sick in your household, you need to be the one laying hands on them and saying and cursing the sickness in Jesus' name and commanding the healing to come in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. How does the Spirit of God lead? He always leads in truth. How do we know? Because the Spirit of God will not lead apart from truth. And of course, it tells us that in John, I think, 15, 16, somewhere in there, those chapters, you can read about it. It tells you all about what the operations of the Spirit is going to, what He's going to do. But part of what He does is he reveals to us the will of the Father. He reveals us the things that Jesus didn't leave us with, the things that He didn't say. He covers the rest. Praise the Lord. Leads us into all truth. Amen. Glory to God. I think I'm going to get into that here next, but praise the Lord. We don't want to be walking around lost anymore. We don't want to be people who are lost in our religion or our thought processes. See, this is why, this is the difference between me now and me 15 years ago. as I walked around in that that state of never knowing. I knew God in the sense that I loved God and I went to church and I believed in Jesus as the Son of God, and I believed on Him for salvation. I believed these things, but it wasn't enough to believe that to live a good life. It wasn't enough to believe that to live a comfortable life or a life of peace, a life of direction. Amen. I needed the truth of the Word, and somebody kept the truth from me. Praise the Lord. And it wasn't on purpose, but people do that. They do keep it from people. Amen. And a lot of times it's because they don't know it. Turn with me to John 16, verse 12. John 16, verse 12. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for the Word. You know how this message came out? It was a really interesting way. It was your turn to John 16. I was, this morning I woke up and I had some scripture on my heart, and so I went there, and when I went to that scripture, I was led to another scripture, and I thought I was just kind of doing a Bible study for myself. And so I was just like into it, you know, I kind of thought I had a message already for this service, and I was just into it myself and just watching, you know, studying. I was getting all this revelation. I'm like, man, that's good. That'd be a good sermon to preach, amen. And then I started getting these other scriptures and put those down for a minute, and then I was led back into those scriptures, and they all tied together. And I just love how the Holy Ghost will do things like that sometimes. Sometimes He'll take you for a walk if you'll listen. Amen. And that's what we're talking. This is the biggest thing, is about following, learning to follow the Holy Ghost. As Christians, we need to know how to follow the Holy Ghost. Then we will make decisions that are always accurate, always good, and that we can always have assurance in them. And see, that's the thing we're talking about. If you've made bad decisions, well, glory to God. God is good, and He can help you. You know, if you've made bad decisions, you don't have to be saddened by a message like this. You need to be stirred and know that God will lead you according to truth if you'll follow. And so if God will lead you according to truth, He'll always lead you back to that place of blessing, because that's His desire. Amen. So you found John 16, 12. Praise the Lord. And we'll read through verse 15. Jesus, now listen, this is Jesus saying this, right? I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Praise the Lord. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will do what? He will guide you into all truth. As many as are led by the Spirit, these are the children of God. These are the sons of God. Right? So think about that in conjunction with this scripture. You see how scripture works together? However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you. As many as are led. Led and guide are the same thing. I would be interesting if you did a quick search on those two words. It more than likely is the same word, or if not, it's close. Amen. But led and guide are the same thing. It's the same principle between the two. He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority. Praise God. But whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will what? Tell you things to come. So the Spirit wants to show us things that are coming down the road. Sometimes we get an inkling about something, we don't know why. Maybe turn down this road. Maybe go buy this purchase. Today I had a direction as I was praying in the Spirit. I was at home praying in the Spirit, and I had direction to buy a book. So I bought it. Praise the Lord. Who am I to argue with that, right? I just bought it. Amen. And I believe there will be something in it for me. I believe there will be something in it for us. Praise God. But, you know, we need to learn how to follow the Spirit. I can trust this because I've learned how to have that peace of the Holy Ghost. The peace is that the Spirit is leading me according to the Word. Amen. Praise God. He will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, Jesus, right? For He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said, He will take of mine and declare it to you. This is an interesting thing. You remember back what I said about being in the world. When I was a child of the world, I didn't know, I couldn't do anything in peace because I didn't know what was mine. But see, one of the jobs of the Holy Ghost here was it say, He's going to take what is the Lord's and declare it to us. That means declare what is yours. What belongs to you? What thing is it for you to have? Not all things in the world are yours to sample. What did I say about spouses? Praise the Lord. Not every human, just because you like the way they look, is for you to touch. Amen. Not every tree is for you to eat off of. Praise the Lord. But God, the Spirit, will show you which one is. The Spirit will show you what's right and what's wrong. The Spirit will show you that, don't touch this food or touch this food. Do you know that some people can't eat everything? There's some people that can't, if they eat a certain thing, it'll make them sick, and other people it doesn't bother at all. Yeah. Well, the Spirit will show you that stuff, even if you don't know, amen? Yeah. I know of that happening to people. But see, it matters if we're led by the Spirit, but most people don't even know what the Spirit is. They don't know who he is. They don't know what his function is. They don't know what his job is. And so they start doing all these things based on just what they feel or what they want, and then they wonder why their life gets a wreck. Your life gets a wreck. See, the Spirit will always lead you to the truth, and God's truth is this. God wants to heal you. That's his truth. Spirit will always lead towards that. We'll say, well, God made you sick. No, that's not the Spirit. That's the devil. That's a spirit, but not the Spirit of God. Amen? Why do we know that? Because it's the spirit of the devil that puts on bondage on people. It's demons, demonic spirit. This is what Jesus went around casting out, or these spirits. Yeah, every single person. Isn't it funny that the almost everywhere in Scripture, maybe everywhere where Jesus cast out a demon, it was also attached to sickness? Isn't that true? Isn't that interesting? When you look at it, Jesus, this sickness or that sickness, it was always attached to a demon. It was some kind of spirit that came out. It wasn't the spirit of God. The Spirit of God was leading Jesus. Do we know that? Do we know? Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's look at that real quick. Let's go over to Acts 10:38. Wasn't planning on going there, but it'll be good for us to look at the Scripture. Amen? And see, we just went there by the Spirit of God. Because as I'm preaching, the Spirit of God says, go there. Amen? And so I went there. So let's look at what Acts 10:38 says. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with what? The Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. So we see this. He anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power. Jesus said, I'm going to anoint you with the Holy Spirit and power. Isn't that what he said? He tells us that at the beginning of Acts. He tells us that in John 16. We're seeing that. He's given us the Holy Spirit to come reside on the inside of us. So why would we think that the operation of the Holy Spirit all of a sudden changed? Why would it, the Bible doesn't say it changed. In fact, the Bible says when in conjunction of the Holy Spirit in our lives tells us the same thing as the conjunction of the Holy Spirit with Jesus' life. He tells us the same exact things. Over and over and over again. So why on earth do humans decide to take the word and say, well, maybe it changed? They build whole religions based on God changing when he said he wouldn't change. Doesn't Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord, I do not change? Hallelujah. If his plan was for healing then, his plan is for healing now. Did God all of a sudden, the Bible says that we have a better covenant based on better promises. I'm going to tell you what. If anyone leaves here believing anything less than what I preached today, you're an absolute fool. Because if you can't see in the Word just by these few scriptures that the Holy Spirit keeps bringing up, if you can't see the will of God in the Word, then you won't ever see it. You won't ever see it. Because the Word of God is always true. It always leads us into truth. But we have to be willing to say, yes, I believe the Word at the Word. Otherwise, you don't believe it. If you want to believe religion, you believe religion. But see, that's the problem with the world is they want to believe religion. Whatever's religious to believe. And it's not what God says. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. What does it mean when God is with somebody? It means that they start having Holy Ghost power. Praise the Lord. Now go back to John 16 where we were. And what does it say? We know this same Holy Spirit is the same one Jesus is talking about here. There is no theologian on earth who would deny that this is a different Holy Spirit. In fact, we always know and we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. There is one God, there is one Father, there is one Son, and there is one Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. There isn't multiple. Now, you have a spirit on the inside of you, but that's not, you have a human spirit. Praise the Lord. But that's different than the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will anoint the human spirit to be able to do what God has said. So praise the Lord. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Praise the Lord. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority. I know we read this, but we're reading it again. But whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. How is God glorified? When we receive what he's intended for us to receive. Jesus just said that right there, didn't he not? He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. He shows you what's yours. He shows you what you're entitled to. He shows you what's for you, the things that you're allowed to get into. Praise the Lord. You know, my pastor was talking about this. He was going on a vacation. They had a down payment. They had a deposit down, a sizable deposit down and everything. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God was like, no, you can't go. You can't go. You can't go. And, you know, months went by, still can't go. And he doesn't even understand why, but the Spirit of God told him not to. And so he followed it. A lot of times, that'll keep you safe. Amen. You know, there's people that have not gotten on airplanes because the Spirit has led them not to, and the airplane has crashed. Now, I mean, that doesn't mean we'd be afraid of airplanes because, you know, praise God. Hallelujah. But it's important to follow the Spirit. You know, when you go about, this is why, you know, there's a lot of people there's a lot of Christians that die as martyrs that were never meant to die. What do I mean by that? It means they've gone into another country they weren't supposed to go into because they didn't know how to follow the Spirit. Listen, I'm going to tell you, this ain't teaching this in the Baptist church. I'm just telling you the truth. I don't hate the Baptists. I love the Baptists. But they don't teach this. They're not teaching this in the Methodist church, by and large, I'm talking about. They're not teaching this in the Catholic church. We need to know these things, and they're not teaching them in most churches. This is the difference between our church and the other churches. This is where we're teaching the whole Bible. Praise the Lord. We get into all the Word. We get into all the truth because that's what you need to know. Without the truth, you can't be set free. Praise the Lord. And you'll be held in whatever bondage you'll be held into. Now, I'm not saying everyone is bad or anything like that, but, you know, the truth is the truth. And I'd say that to any Baptist minister. Praise the Lord. I'd say that to any Catholic, anybody. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. The truth is the truth, and we got to believe it. Because if we don't believe it, it's not going to be effective for us. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So many people are confused because they have never found out what belongs to them. That's the confusion in the world. You don't know what belongs to you. Listen, if you know, like my children, they know what they can do in my household, and they know what they can't do. Praise God. Hallelujah. Then we have family events, right? And everybody comes over for family events. They come over to the house, and we have all these people. They're doing all kinds of things. And my kids know that it's not right. My kids know you can't do that. But those other kids are doing that. Why are they doing that? Because they don't know. They don't belong to that family unit. They don't have that truth. They're not getting the same direction. They don't know what belongs to them. Praise God. Hallelujah. My kids know because they're taught. They're in the household. The same thing is with the Spirit of God. We should know because we're children of God. We should know what's ours. It's not wrong to know what's yours. Praise the Lord. You know what belongs to you. You know what land is your family's land. You know, like this is basic thoughts in the world. But why do people never know what God has for them? And the Bible tells us he's the best father of them all. He's the best parent of them all. And yet people don't know what belongs to them. They don't know what's theirs. And the Bible tells us that you don't have because you don't ask. And you don't even know that you can ask. Because if you think that God's made you sick, then you won't ask. Praise the Lord. Or you'll ask not knowing. And the Bible says that when you ask not knowing, you're an unstable man. Right? You're a double-minded man, unstable in all your ways. That's beginning of James 1, verse 8 or somewhere around there. Praise the Lord. You're a double-minded man, unstable in all your ways. If you ask without knowing, you're going to get the answer. Is it dawn on anyone? Have you ever heard someone pray from the standpoint of, I'm going to pray, but I don't really know if God will answer me? Have you ever heard someone say that? I'm just going to tell you, go into any church in this country and you're going to hear that. Because people don't know. They don't know that they can expect when they pray that they get answered. That they should expect. And this is where, and this is part of what we're building to. This is part of what I'm trying to get in you. Because we need to leave here with the understanding that we need to expect our God, when we go, he's going to show up. That when we talk to somebody and we say we're going to pray, he's going to show up and he's going to heal. He's going to take charge. He's going to do it. We need to expect it. This needs to be our number one thing, so much so, but Christians are timid. They're afraid to reach out because they don't really know if God will meet them there. And I know because the devil tries to trick me too. You know, sometimes somebody will present something to me. I'll be like my flesh. I'll be like, whoa, that's huge. That's huge. And then they're like, well, maybe you won't do it. Then the thoughts start coming, maybe you won't do it. Of course he'll do it this time. He always do it. Praise God. Hallelujah. So many people are confused because they have never found out what belongs to them. They have no idea what's theirs. They don't know this truth. Listen, religion isn't hard when you know the truth. The Bible isn't hard. You know, people have said that to me. Well, that's your interpretation of it. It's not my interpretation of it. Just read it for yourself. Just read it. I mean, just get in there and read it and tell me if you honestly can interpret these differently. Look at this. Where were we? John 16. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, so we know Spirit of truth. Even if you don't know what it is, you know that Jesus is saying the Spirit of truth is coming, right? Can you interpret that differently? No. When he, and it says he, so we understand that it's like a person form, right? Right? He will guide you into all truth, right? Isn't that what the Bible says? Interpret it differently. Well, some truth. Well, you can't know everything. What does the Bible say? All truth. When the Spirit of the truth has come, isn't it interesting? They call him here the Spirit of truth. I love how God does this. Amen? For he will not speak on his own authority, but he will whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. And yet, if you start telling people, if you start telling Christians about how God showed you things to come, they'll think you're goofy. They'll think you're flaky. What does the Bible say? You can't interpret that. Can you interpret that differently? Someone raise your hand if you interpret it differently. Praise the Lord. Good, I'm glad you didn't raise your hand. Hallelujah. Because we love you and we want you to love us still. Amen. Turn with me to 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4. Yeah, the word is good, and it's amazing how much garbage it will clear up if you just look at it. Just look at it. You just take a look at it. Hallelujah. Just look at it. It will clear up everything. All your questions will clear it up in the word. Amen. I love it. I love it. That's why I love the word so much. Because every time I'm confused, I go to the word. It's like, hey, there it is. Hey, cleared up. Answered. Praise the Lord. Ding, got it. Don't need to call up the priest. Yeah, I'm just saying. I ain't got to get call up sister better than you to find out, brother better than you, or sister bucket mouth. I ain't got to call them up to find out what the truth is. What's the word say? What's the word say? Amen. That's why we use the word. You notice that everything we do, we use the word. At the end of service, every time I go to an end of service and we talk about salvation, what do I use? The word. Bible says in Romans 10:9. Why do I say that? Because when you're out talking to somebody, you know what you're going to eventually do? If you've paid attention in church a few times, you're going to be like, hey, wait a minute. The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you'll be saved. That's all you got to know. That's all you got to tell. See, it's not that hard, right? But that's why we direct. Why do we do Malachi 3:10 every single week? Because people obviously have questions. Malachi 3:10 says it really clear and plain. It's really easy. You look at it. There it is. That's the truth. Hey, that's all I need. It's not Pastor Jeff's version of the truth. That's how you interpret it. No. What does it say? It says very clearly what it says. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now look at this. You know, sometimes there's things that we can read between the lines. I'm not saying that. And in this, we'll see some right here in these scriptures. And remind me if I don't say it, because I'll talk about where you can read between the lines. Amen. But it'll be clear. It's not going to be hard. It'll be clear. Now, the Spirit expressly says, okay, so this is something the Spirit is like, you remember that Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the truth-giving Spirit? He's the one that doesn't lie, right? He's the truth-giving Spirit. What does he expressly say? That means, that's putting emphasis on it, right? It's emphasis, I know that, but praise the Lord. He's bringing it out, he's saying, he expressly says that in latter times, okay? Now, some people argue this, we're not in the latter times. Well, we're definitely in latter times than then, right? We're further along than then, so we're in latter times now, are we not? So we can at least connect it that far, praise the Lord. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith. Now, so many people say to me, and so many people have gotten this argument, tried to get in this argument with me, that people cannot lose their salvation. They cannot walk away from the faith. And yet, the Bible clearly says, and this isn't the only place, but what does it clearly say here? Some will depart from the faith. Listen, if you depart from this church, you are no longer here. When you left on Sunday, you were no longer here. You came back today, but you departed on Sunday. When you left, you were gone. You departed. You were not there no more. All right? So if you've departed from the faith, and the faith is what saves you, if you've departed from the faith and the faith is what saves you, you've walked away. You can't, my Lord, it's not hard to interpret, is it? It's not hard to see what the scripture says. But see, people will twist. You know what's funny about people who give false doctrine? Every time someone gives false doctrine, they usually will base it on one or maybe two scriptures that they've taken out of context and twisted. And you can clearly see it. Praise the Lord, a.k.a. Mormons, Jehovah's Witness. They have clearly taken scripture out of context and twisted it, and now they try to say, well, this is the truth. And if you don't believe this, and then people get confused. They're like, how do I know what the truth is? Because the Bible says, gives us a truth. If you, you can twist it. You can twist this to say, I mean, we've seen some crazy twisted. Hallelujah. And I ain't talking about dance halls. I'm saying we've seen some pretty crazy twisting. This my wife woke me up one morning with this. It was a morning, right? You told me about it. Or maybe it was, probably woke me up in the morning and told me about this crazy thing that she saw, like this woman who twisted these. I ain't even going to get into all that it is. But it was just like, how would you ever get that out of that scripture? I don't know. But see, people, they'll make up what they want to make up. Amen? So some will depart from the faith, giving heed. This is how they depart, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. What's a deceiving spirit? Does anyone know? I would gather, and I'm not very, very good educated here, but I would gather that a deceiving spirit is, in fact, a spirit who deceives. Now, that's giving it a good GED try. Hallelujah. You know, I dropped out of high school, so I don't have all the PhDs and all the different things you'd add on the end. But I'm guessing that means the deceiving spirits means spirits that deceive. It's just a stretch, but if you can go along with me, we'll get to the end eventually. Amen. Deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Now you may not know what doctrines are, and that's fine. Doctrines is a nice churchy word for teaching. Basically, amen? And if you don't believe me on that, well, then we're in trouble again. But let's just go with it. It's teaching, amen? So teaching of demons. That's what we can see there. Does anyone know what a demon is? Has anyone seen even if you don't know what one is scripturally, have you ever seen a movie about a demon or seen one in a movie or heard about demons? People talk about demons, you know. There's songs about demons. Demons are generally never used in a good light, right? There's a negative connotation attached to demons. So the teaching of things that are negative probably aren't things that are good, right? Praise the Lord. So now we see that some will depart from the faith, so they're going to leave the faith, leave what we believe, leave the salvation, leave the things that God has set up for them, praise the Lord, giving heed, and this is how they're leaving. They're giving heed to deceiving spirits, spirits that deceive, and teachings of demonic entities. Praise the Lord. This is how they're going to leave. So you would ask yourself, how does somebody who's in the faith leave? These things are going to be things that are twisted in the Word. Doctrines of demons and deceiving spirits are twisting the Word to mean what it's not supposed to mean. And this is why you have so many religions that teach so many different things. This is when you get Bible, what are called Bible-based religions. Not okay. Let's stay away from non biblical religion. So let's get away from Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam. Well, Islam is kind of based originally in scripture, but let's get away from all of those and say we're going to go back to just Bible-based religions, just the standard ones. What do you believe? What's on, your name's on the door, I don't care what it is, but you use the Bible as your base, right? These are the people this is talking about. This is not talking about Buddhists. This is not talking about Hindus. This is not talking about Muslims even, because they were never really part of the faith. This is talking about something completely different. This is talking about people who are in the same faith, Bible-based faith, that don't believe the truth anymore. Why? They've left the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Now, I'm going to take it a little bit further and say, you could even say this about the faith. There are different levels of what people believe. And so there's different levels of faith. We know that according to Scripture. So some people won't believe the fullness of what faith is because they've listened to deceiving spirits and demons. Amen? Does it make sense? Praise the Lord. So we can see what's happening here. Now, this is happening in the latter times. I would ask you, if you've known anybody that goes to any other church or if you've talked with religion with anybody on the street or wherever, or your family members or whatever, and there's contentions, if there's ever been contentions with what they're saying, praise the Lord. Can't you see that here right now? Can't you see that that's exactly what this is pointing to? Praise the Lord. Now, I'll go so far as to say this. If I'm not preaching from the Word, there's trouble. So if what I'm telling you isn't in here, then you need to not just take my word for it. But because it's in here, if it's based on the principles in here, obviously, you know what I'm saying. Praise God. Hallelujah. So going on, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. What it means to have your conscience seared is means you start believing something for so long that you can't even turn to the truth because you don't know it. That's what it means. You can't even see the truth because you're so wrapped up in it. This is what people are. People, this happens so often. I've seen this so much. I have known people that I can sit there with the word. I've even heard of people sitting there in a conversation about the word and say, I don't care what it says. I don't care what it says. See, we got to be careful of that stuff. We have to be careful of what we're listening to, because And then it gives examples here, and this is what I was talking about earlier. That this is just some examples. You could read between the lines because it's more than just this. But these are examples of what they're talking about. Forbidding to marry. Praise God. There's some religions that have done that. Forbidding to marry. How about, there's nowhere in Scripture do you ever see that a man of God can't take a wife. So if you're part of a faith that says a man of God can't take a wife, then you wonder troubles with sexual immorality in those faiths. It's because they're listening to doctrines of demons. It's doctrines of demons. Listen, doctrines of demons can happen with good people. Yeah, it can happen. I'm not saying that everybody who believes every doctrine of demon is going to hell. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying you can be deceived because you depart from the truth. See, this is how we connect it. This is how we put it all together. Amen. Commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Have you ever been part of a faith, or do you know anybody? I don't know of any in here offhand. But have you ever been part of a faith or heard somebody from a faith say, "Well, you can't eat this or you can't eat that"? What does the Bible say? It says, commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Remember that first scripture we saw? That first scripture, Romans 14:23, where it was talking about that. Whatever is not from faith is sin. You see, those who believe and know the truth aren't going to sin when they eat, because you can eat just about anything you want if you can do it in faith. And you should be able to do most of it in faith. Amen? No, praise God. For every creature of God is good. Okay, this is going to go on to take it even further. Well, we can't eat crabs. We can't eat lobsters. We can't eat clams. We can't eat pork. Yes, that was Old Testament law, but that was for a different reason. It was for different people. Amen? It does not apply to us. For every creature of God. Everybody say, every creature, of God. Okay, how many creatures does that include? All of them. Amen. Praise God. See, we're on the same page. Man, I'm glad we're interpreting this right. Hallelujah. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified, made clean by the word of God in prayer. Hallelujah. That's why we pray for our food. We sanctify our food. Amen. Glory to God. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. I'm a good minister of Jesus Christ because I'm inspecting. I'm not only instructing the brethren in these things. I'm instructing the sistren too. Glory to God. The sistren and the brethren, we're being instructed real good here. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad? You will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nursed in the words of faith and of good doctrine, which you have carefully followed. Hallelujah. But reject profane and old wives' fables, and exercise yourself toward godliness. Oh gosh, we're getting in good here. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things. So it's not saying that exercise is bad, it says it profits a little. There's things that exercise profits, amen? But godliness, what does it do? It's profitable for all things, amen? It helps us everywhere. Praise the Lord. Having promise of the life that now is and that of which is to come. See, godliness is not just so we get to heaven. Godliness isn't just so we make it someday. Godliness is so we can live here and live in God's blessing and God's plan right here today. Praise the Lord. Isn't that exciting? I mean, that's good. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all. all acceptance. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach. So this is what the Bible tells us. It tells us to command and teach these things. You know what the deal is here? People major on the minors all the time. You know, religions major on the minors. They will tell you, you can't touch this, you can't do this, you can't, blah, 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 blah. All these things. They will come up with all these little things. I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about? I'm not talking about, like, not living in sin. Yes, we talk about that. But I'm saying that all these are, it's like, oh, you can't eat that. You can't wear those kind of clothes. You shouldn't have your hair done like that. You shouldn't drive that kind of car. You can't wear that kind of ring. You can't, whatever it is. You understand? Well, you can't have that type of phone. Hallelujah. What's that? Yeah, praise the Lord. I have to wear dresses and not pants. All kinds of things, you know. They major on the minors. They're majoring on all these little things that don't matter. And see, what happens is these have their, people think that they're pious by doing so. The whole time they're disobeying the word of God. Because God has not instructed people to do this. He said that you can do things in freedom if you understand what freedom is. You see, the bondage, the things that the Bible tells us, it says exercise godliness. Godliness is good for all things. What is godliness? It's thinking the way that God thinks. Essentially, isn't it? If we're talking about Jeffreyness, you would assume that we're talking about the things that I'm thinking, or the things, you know, if we're going to all talk in Jeffreyness, we're going to talk the way that I talk, amen? We're going to use the language I use, hallelujah. You know what I'm saying? That's what it is. It's a reflection of the one it's named after. And so godliness is a reflection of the one it's named after. God doesn't give a rip about what you wear as long as you're covered. Hallelujah. Yeah, modesty, he cares about that. Why? Because the lack of modesty leads to sin in the flesh. Absolutely. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When my pastor and I went to Rio de Janeiro, praise God for the Brazilians. But they like butts. I'm just telling you the truth, they like butts. When we went to we were in a hotel that was across from a beach. And so we decided to go over to the beach one day. It was just him and I, and we went over there and we sat down on the beach. And praise the Lord for these other people that came down and they sat right in front of us. We had to turn our backs because of the clothes that they were wearing, because we didn't want to look upon their butts. That's what they wear to the beach. They wear buttless stuff to the beach, you know. And I'm not trying to get you to have visualizations, but I'm just telling you, we didn't want to have visualizations either. So we did what a godly man would do, and we plucked our eye out. We turned our chairs around. So now we're sitting at the beach looking at the hotel. Praise the Lord. That's what we did. Amen. You can say, well, how do we know that you were doing that? Well, why did I even bring it up? You know what I'm saying? I mean, just like, I'm not trying to say all, you know, but my point is that, you know, modesty is important. These things, because these things can cause sin. Amen. It gets us to think wrong. It gets us to do things wrong. And we don't want to go down that road. Amen. Praise the Lord. But that does not mean that women have to cover their faces with a scarf. Praise the Lord. That's overly modest. I suppose it is extreme modesty, but that's, you know, that's not what the Bible doesn't tell us to do that. Praise the Lord. What the problem is, and the reason I bring this up, is so many people major on the minors and they don't even know the truth. They don't even know the majors. And so you have all these majors, you have these things like healing, and then people don't know about it because they're focused on what they wear. You know what I mean? You have things about, like, God wants to bless you, but you're focused on it because of what God wants you to eat. People want, you know, Jesus talked about freedom in Christ, and he's talked about all this stuff, but yet you're focused on, you're focused on this or that, little things that don't matter. You understand what I'm saying? Like how does a certain clothing make you more godly? Praise the Lord. You know, we've had these conversations with people, and it's the truth. Why does a certain, you know, why one color over a different color? Why does it matter? Color is color. It doesn't really matter. God is, he created all the colors. He loves them all. Amen. God didn't care if it's black, red, white, orange, green. He doesn't care. He loves all colors. Amen. You remember rainbows, right? Yeah. Praise the Lord. We got rainbows in the sky. Yeah. Amen. They're not boring, are they? No. I've never seen a rainbow and not wanted to take a picture of it. Yeah. You know what I love when there's a rainbow? Everybody posts pictures about it. Yeah. You know what I mean? And God wasn't talking about the homosexuals either. No. You know, he's showing his promise. That's a promise of God in the sky. Amen. And how did he make his promise? Think about that. You know that. That's what a rainbow really is. It's a promise of God that he'll never flood the earth again, right? It's a promise of God. Praise the Lord. And what's he do for his promise? He paints it the most beautiful that you can even imagine. Yeah. I mean, you look at a rainbow, and you just say, people are amazed by them. It's amazing, though, and all the colors are right there, right? Praise the Lord. Why? Because that's the way our God is. Amen. So why would he care what you wear? Why would he care what you're, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't, these things, they don't have, you know, there's another scripture. It talks about eating. You know, there's stuff that's good in this because, you know, some people, like I said, I'm not saying God won't lead you in certain things. He will. Sometimes he'll lead you not to, not to eat certain things, but there's a reason for it. But he's not leading the whole body of Christ by it. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. I've been doing some study on these pseudo-Christian cults lately, mostly the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses. It's just amazing to me what people come up with and the garbage that people believe. It's amazing to me how much they'll twist the word and they'll believe people that come up with their own stuff, but they won't believe this word that is written. Do you realize that this word goes back? I mean, you can trace this back. They've found documents of this word that are thousands of years old, and they say the exact same thing that it says here today. Praise the Lord. You know, and then some of these cults, they try to say, well, this isn't as pure as the original version was. It's the same thing. The Dead Sea Scrolls have proved this. They brought within 100 years of when Christ was here some of the things that they've written. And it's like, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. Praise the Lord. Because God, God's truth, if he gave us the truth, he certainly can keep it true. Right? Amen? Praise the Lord. So let's not major on the minors. We bring all this up because we're building on some things here that are really important for us to understand. We need to understand that God is not just he's not just focused on the little things that we do, but God he cares about the bigger picture, amen, and where he's bringing us. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Jude, and we're getting close to the end here. I promise. Jude 1:3. That's the last book before Revelation. Revelation is the last book of the Bible. It's one chapter long. So if I turn to Job 1, or if I tell you to turn to Jude 1, you've turned to the whole thing. Praise God. But we're going to go to the third and fourth verse. What does it say here? And this is bringing it all together, I think. Amen. That's what the intent was. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Now, this is what I love about people that say that the scripture has changed. Jude 1:3 tells us completely different. That scripture was delivered once for all. It was delivered to the saints, right? That's what it says here. Earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. And then it goes on in verse 4. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness, and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. They deny him by denying who they are. When you say that God makes people sick, what you are saying, you are denying who God is. Because God is not, Jesus was a Savior. Everybody say Savior. Savior. You know what Savior is? Savior is one who saves. Quite simply, right? We depend on him to save. When you look up salvation, when you do a study on salvation, you'll see that salvation is not only for eternity, but salvation is that salvation that Jesus promises, and all these scriptures that back it up. There's the salvation is to save us in this life. Jesus is the Savior. How can the Savior cause you to die? In fact, I'll take it a step further. God causes no man to die. God does not cause death. He is not the author of death. He is the author of life. He did not create death. He created life. We are told that the wages of sin is death. Amen? You know what's that? Romans, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's in Romans. Yeah, somewhere. The wages of sin is death. Look it up if you don't believe me. It's in there. 6:23. Yeah. Wages of sin is death. Praise the Lord. We're told other places that sin causes death. We see that in the beginning of, or we see that in James too, that sin, when it's fully conceived, brings forth death. God doesn't bring forth death. He is this life-giving spirit. Amen? Isn't that a scripture too? The life-giving spirit. When you look up that spirit, love. He's the life-giving spirit. The life-giving spirit. Everybody say life-giving spirit. Does the life-giving spirit cause death? Does the life-giving spirit take you to death? No, because he would not be called the life-giving spirit. Amen? Praise the Lord. Did you find it? 1 Corinthians 15:40. Let's just turn there for hoots and giggles. First. Oh, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. You know what the Bible says? If you don't understand that, the Bible says, let the ignorant be ignorant still. 1 Corinthians what? 15:45. Praise the Lord. I didn't even plan it to come out late, but it did. And so it is written, the first Adam became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. We know that that is talking about Jesus. Jesus is a life-giving spirit. John 10:10 tells us that Jesus, it's the thief that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He says, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. God has come for abundant life. Praise the Lord. So when we are doing stuff, when we are doing things, when we are living, we have to move with surety. Praise the Lord. Remember the scripture said, let the word dwell in you richly? Yes. Hallelujah. Let the word dwell in you richly. Let the truth of the word dwell in you richly. Therefore, because if you do, you won't be deceived by things that aren't true. You will go back to the word and you'll say, ah, what you're saying isn't true. What the word says is true. And the word says that Jesus is a life-giving spirit. He is not the one that causes death, and therefore he is not putting sickness on me. Now, why do we say all this? I'm glad you asked, praise the Lord, because this concludes the first part of our message. Amen. Praise the Lord. Always not, but I want to say this as we close, always not being sure is just as much sin as doing it purposely wrong. Always not being sure is just as much sin as doing it purposely wrong. You need to be sure, Christian. You need to know what you're doing. Because if you don't know, you won't go. And if you won't go, people won't get helped. They won't get what they need. And lives won't change. Praise the Lord.